Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 448. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid Abdul Hadi. How you doing, sir?
I am doing just fine. I hope everyone's enjoying themselves. And as I was telling Kevin before we got on, it seems like every time I come on, it's because of a Roman Reigns promo.
As I answered, I did not plan things that way. But I guess it's kind of interesting to me that I don't like the direction they've gone, but it does seem to have gotten a reaction for some reason or another, even though, honestly, we've heard this form of this argument a number of times recently. I mean, people were using it on John Cena on SmackDown not that long ago.
Yeah, it's... I get what they're trying to do. And it's kind of like, I don't blame Roman Reigns because he was passionate doing what he was doing. But who wants to cheer for a crybaby? My biggest issue with this whole thing is... Roman Reigns' big deal is, you know, Brock Lesnar gets special privileges. He gets treated special. He gets to do what he wants. Not like me. I got to show up to work. And if I don't show up, I'll get fired. So I have to be there. Just like these regular jokers in the crowd because I'm broke somehow. And it's kind of like, so? Like, anyone that's watched WWE realize Brock Lesnar's been treated special since the first time he stepped on Raw. After WrestleMania, they made Brock Lesnar seem like a big deal. They treated him as something different. They had him beat everybody. You can still count on one hand a number of people who beat him clean, like since the time he started wrestling. It's a real short list. So they made an effort of keeping Brock Lesnar special. They told Brock Lesnar he was special. They told us he was special. Now we're supposed to get mad because he's acting special? Like, I don't get that logic.
It's not even like he's now acting that way. He's been back for probably 4 years now. I mean, he hasn't shown up for a full year's work in quite some time. I guess I'm going to have to check to see when that was exactly, but...
Yes.
It was
WrestleMania. It was the... Well, he came back... The Raw after WrestleMania Miami. So I want to say that's, 5 years?
Oh, yeah.
Around 5 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be really asleep at the switch not to realize that Brock Lesnar hasn't been on a full tour of Raw in the last 5 years about.
Yeah, and I don't get, like, I made the joke, you know, Bronson wants to be the American Dusty Rhodes. Like, all of a sudden, I'm fighting for the common man. I'm fighting for the people in the locker room. I'm fighting for the fans. Like, no one wants to hear that from Roman Reigns. Like, Roman Reigns is special himself. He's about to be in the main event again at WrestleMania. He's trying to be... You can't be Stone Cold Steve Austin and Owen Hart at the same time. And it's like, that's what he's trying to be. He's like, I'm trying to fight against the system, but I'm whining because stuff's not fair. And I'm going to run the Mystic Man saying, you know, Brock Lesnar, your chosen boy, and yada, yada, yada. And it's like the same Brock Lesnar that, you know, almost left a couple times, that sued to leave, like that Brock Lesnar.
Oh.
You complain to Vince, the same Vince, like this time last year was trying to keep you from winning the title, was trying to fire you, and now he's sitting there all old, like, he's telling the truth, like, that's Brock Lesnar's his own man. He has special privileges. He's earned those privileges. Roman Reigns just suspended. And the crowd cares.
It really is one of those things that... I understand kind of pushing through fan resentment from time to time. Because the fans aren't always right, but this is another one too, that it's been so long with Reigns that they've been trying to pull some weird stuff that you know, I don't get it. Like, and I mean, he just came off of a, even though he had to have four people try and take out Braun Strowman, you know, he had some reason to crow about being able to take out Brock Lesnar and just kind of be the tough guy. Like you said, be the Steve Austin kind of guy. And he'd kind of been going in that direction, and for whatever reason, they've kind of abandoned that in this storyline.
Could you imagine Steve Austin cutting that type of promo? I show up to work every day. I don't get to see my family. He disrespected me. Vince disrespected me. It ain't fair. I'm on the road. I got to eat this nasty catering. Rock get to show up whenever he wants because Brock left his special. Whoop-de-damn-do. Get a better agent, dumb-dumb. Like, why am I getting mad at you because you mad because you don't get perks? Like, why am I cheering Roman Reigns again? Because he's a common, like, Roman Reigns is the common man because he shows up at work all the time. And I heard people complain say, like, you know, it's not fair that Brock's not showing up, even though, like, that's the storyline. And they blame Brock. And I'm like, oh, really? One, Brock's probably had more matches, like, this past year than he's had, like, the previous four. And two, are people really saying, like, you know what we need more of? Brock Lesnar sitting there, just mean mug about Paul Heyman cuts the same promo about how great he is. Like, I don't need to see that every damn week. It's not like Brock's going to wrestle Heath Slater on Raw. So what exactly are we missing that people want to see?
Yeah, I don't need to. Like, there's only so many things you can do. Like, to keep Brock Lesnar interesting, he'd need to be doing the type of stuff that Braun Strowman's doing right now. And even then, like, it's one of those things, at least for Strowman, is that in some ways he kind of needs to prove himself still. Like, Lesnar is such a known commodity at this point that stuff like that would be kind of silly.
Yeah, the biggest problem going on is, like, this seems like a foregone conclusion. Like, everybody knows exactly how this plays out with this match. It's kind of like, it's a good chance Brock's going to leave and go back to UFC. Everyone kind of knows that Roman's going to win. So, it's like, we're doing this song and dance for nothing. Like, it's not going to make it, like, Roman's going to win. It doesn't make a difference. He's not going to get chaired. So why are we wasting our time?
And like, everyone's going to call him Vince's boy because he won.
Yeah, like, all the stuff he's calling about Brock Lesnar. Like, it's the ironic thing is all the stuff that he's slandering Brock Lesnar with applies to Roman Reigns. People have pointed that out. Like, John Cena pointed that out.
Oh.
Miz pointed that out. Plenty of people have pointed that out before. So it's just kind of like he's making his arguments to win fans who feel that way about him. So it's like, why are we wasting our time? It's like, why are you trying to tear down Brock Lesnar after you made him special for over a decade? And that actually applies to the other person that put a stupid-ass promo on that show. John Cena. I was like, I got mad at this whole, is this, you know, ruin, tear down Legends Day? Like, that one actually bothered me more than the Roman Reigns promo. And it was like, and it wasn't even John Cena's fault. Like, John Cena cut a hell of a promo, was passionate, he was into it, he got the crowd behind it. But the promo was junk. Like, then, no. This first, this big thing about Roman Reigns was Roman Reigns is taking credit for beating The Undertaker when The Undertaker was a watchful man. So what's John Cena thing going to do? I got something to prove at WrestleMania, so I'm going to prove it by beating up that same washed up old man. Like, The Undertaker was a legend. He's the icon. He's the foundation of WWE, the Mount Rushmore. And now John Cena's saying he's an egomaniac that took his ball, went home, and he's not, and he could have the match. Like, I see him on Instagram working out, but he's just a coward. What? Did he retire? Like, if LeBron James, like, you know what? I want to prove I'm the best. I'm going to call out Michael Jordan. Let's play one-on-one next week. But anybody think that's brave? Or people look at him like you're insane. Like, it's insane.
Yeah. And to say, even in both cases, and Cena even brought it up, to like, oh, you're not too old. And I'm like, yes, he is. Like, I'm sorry, I'm sure, you know, it happens to everyone at some point. You know, Taker's in his mid-50s. The guy is old.
Yeah, he was old when they feuded on SmackDown over a decade ago. He was old then. And it's not like he got younger since then. My whole thing is like, what's John Cena trying to prove? Yeah, I can beat an old man. Like, whoop the damn dude. You beat the Undertaker when Undertaker was retired and washed up. You want a cookie? Like you trying to prove you're good. You just beat AJ Styles not too long ago, who was world champion. So obviously, it's too much stuff that's like conflicting because they trying to play the whole the John Cena had what it take. He had a few bad matches.
Oh.
He's 40 and he's not sure if he got anything. But then they have him beat like AJ Styles claim. They have him beat other people, like people that's on the top of the card. They have him win. So it's like, yeah, I guess John Cena still has. So what does John Cena get out of beating Undertaker now?
Yeah, I mean, that's been a central problem with even when they've just been teasing this thing. And now that he kind of went all in that promo, I don't see it not happening. And I'm still just shocked, honestly, too, by the crowd response. I don't want to see that match.
I mean, I get why people want to see the match because they've never done it. That's something that's been talked about for like, 7-8 years?
Right.
And at this point, it's kind of like, it's a safe match because if Undertaker wins, it's fine. Cena doesn't really need to win it. But it's just how they're doing it. It's like, okay, if John Cena's right about the stuff he said about Undertaker, then all this time Undertaker's a phony. Like he's really this old prima donna, this diva that's been hiding behind his legacy, which makes us feel stupid for cheering the Undertaker for all these years. If John Cena's wrong, then John Cena's the villain, and I don't think they want John Cena to be like the delusional bad guy. So it's a lose lose. Like either the Undertaker's some washed up bum hiding behind his hat, or John Cena's a madman trying to be the old man for no reason, for some pride he doesn't need.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, the time leading up to it just is not going to come off well at all.
But I will say how brave he was for drinking a beer from a fan, because in a snowball chance of hell, I would touch anything a fan at a wrestling event had in their hand. Like, no thanks.
Yeah, I would not drink anyone's beer except for my own. Of course, I would also not drink a beer in an event, more than likely.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's funny where they have these matches people want to see, but the way they're going about it is just leaving a bad taste out your mouth. It was those two matches, the Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, like all of that stuff was alone. I guess they want to really make sure you don't like Alexa Bliss, because now they turn into like a body shaming bigot. Because between the stuff with Asuka and the stuff with Nia Jax, it's like, how can you cheer for her? Like like all of a sudden Asuka talks like she's 8 years old all of a sudden. I remember, like, it's not like she talks English like, you know, Okada, but she talks English better than that. Now all of a sudden she's shouting and talking all loud and talking slow. It's like she's all of a sudden she turns into Jerry, and it's this whole thing. I know you don't speak English very well. I know you're smart, but we'll still talk slow, and we'll have Charlie Caruso ask you a 45-second question in English, so you can answer. Like this, it's just, why is everyone acting like numbskulls all of a sudden?
I don't know, because I mean, it's not even that fun type of when the brand split first happened and SmackDown was the asshole brand. Like, it's not like an entertaining kind of thing either. It's more just cringy. Because that Bliss promo was, or whatever you want to call it, that backstage segment was so weird. Honestly, like, an announcer just took like 10 minutes to get to that position, and they just so happened to keep the cameras and mic rolling.
Yeah, we're gonna say this is a B-roll for the network just just in case. At least, I will give them credit for this. At least they had an excuse, because normally they'll have those segments like, why are we seeing this? At least this one is like, this is the first time they actually made an excuse saying, you know, we were setting up the cameras early and we had to run it. And they, can't remember the last time they actually did that. So I give them props for that. But that promo was kind of like, she wanted to call her fat while calling her fat. Like, you know, she's always had body issues and confidence issues, and she's never felt secure with herself and everything, and I just use her, and, you know, if she don't do this, I'm going to tear her down. And one, it's kind of like, it's harsh because a lot of it's probably true. I know Nia has talked about doing stuff like that. Two, it's harsh because they're best friends in real life, so it's like having to, you know, cut that promo. Like, I know it's business, but it's just, and then... At least the crowd got behind Nia Jackson, because you can see it's like, you know, they got behind, like, go. Because I was wondering, how are they going to make a way for you to feel sympathetic for her, because she's just so much bigger than Alexa Bliss.
Right.
Turn Alexa Bliss into a mean girl basically worked, because, like, people want to see Nia just whip her ass at Mania.
Yeah, and this is something that I think Jeremy and I talked about. You really almost need to throw Mickie James into that match just to make it seem somewhat plausible or to last more than 5 seconds. Because, you know, it's kind of the same problem with Asuka where, you know, Bliss is kind of won underhanded almost all the time. You know, she had, more like The Miz, I guess, where she's kind of had the championship a lot, but she also hasn't really had quality wins over the big names. Like, she's beaten Bayley and Sasha a couple of times, but there's always something going on.
Somebody slips on a banana peel, or somebody's the turnbuckle, and she punches him in the face and gets the pin. It's kind of like she wins, but it doesn't seem... Even when she wins, like, semi-clean, it never seems like it's a definite win. Because she doesn't, like... She can keep up with them, but she's not as good as them. And it's tough, like, wrestling all these people that are good in the ring, and she's kind of like... She gets by on personality and, like, promos and character, not, like, ring work. And it's going to be tough wrestling Nia Jax, because what can she do to... It's like, you could see Asuka doing something because, like, they've proven, like, Asuka can beat anybody that's kicking them to death. What's Alexa Bliss going to do with Nia Jax? Like, when they have a match? Nothing. Like, it's not her fault. Yeah. She's just, like, Nia's, like, more than twice her size, like, weight-wise.
And it's not like and almost height-wise.
Yeah, and it's not like Alexa's so... athletic, she can overcome that. Like, Nia's gonna squash her, and she should squash her. They build it up so you should have that. You got sympathy for Nia now, and it's gonna be funny having her as a babyface champion, because then it's like, where does she go from there? Like, her being champ, who's gonna be her that's on the roster now? Unless she slips on the, it's almost like that Braun Strowman problem. Like, unless she slips on a banana peel, you ain't gonna have like Bayley roll her up for like a small package. Some nonsense like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's how she had. Yeah, I mean, she's not really lost all that clean. I mean, even these last two losses to Asuka, I mean, they've really played up how much Asuka barely got out of there. So, you know, and especially this, or no, I guess it was 2 weeks ago with the loss, or a week ago with the loss on Raw. I mean, basically three attempts to get out of the armbar and Asuka barely holds on is, it's a real statement to what Asuka is, but also how tough Nia is. And yeah, Bliss just, again, hasn't been presented as close to that good.
Yeah, but it's just been one of those shows where it's kind of like they're getting to where they need to get to, but it's just been a raggedy way of getting it. But nothing was as raggedy. And they had to have done this on purpose. The back-to-back Moolah Battle Royal and Women's Month celebrating Indira Gandhi. I'm like... There's some, like, all you gotta do is use a Google search to realize, like, maybe that's a bad idea. And I'm sitting there, like, first I hear the Moolah stuff, and I'm like, huh? And I'm hearing people say, you know, she's a woman's pioneer, like Althea Gibson and Bae Didrikson, and I'm like, they're rolling their grave if they heard that. And hearing, like, Bailey say, you know, I grew up watching Moolah matches. I'm like, no one grew up watching Moolah matches.
Oh, yeah.
Like, nobody. Like, nobody. Like, you know what? When I was a little kid, I used to watch Moolah and Love for a Ring work. Like, no one's ever said that in her life. The only time I ever enjoyed Moolah in the ring was when Jeff Jarrett was beating her up, either by putting her in a figure four or hitting her with a guitar. That's it. I didn't want to see some old woman beating Ivory for the title because it's her 73rd birthday. And that's before I knew that she's basically a gangster and a damn pimp growing up and was just one of those horrible people in wrestling, which is saying a lot considering how sketchy professional wrestling is. Like, it's...
Yeah, that was something that I guess sometimes, because I don't read a lot of the wrestlers' books or a lot of the extra chatter around wrestling, I'm like, so what did Moolah do wrong? Like, I asked Jeremy that because honestly I was ignorant of the situation, and he just started running through the laundry list of bad stuff. I'm like, oh, so what you're saying, she's a quality human being. I was just like, oh my god, I was like, that's pretty terrible. Like, and I mean, I can say, not that I say I enjoyed watching her when I was growing up, but I can actually say that, unlike Bailey, who is probably 20 years my junior, and Moolah really did not wrestle all that much, even by the time that I was watching her.
Yeah, like, when I was a little kid, I wasn't saying, oh, that Wendy Richter Red Spider Lady match was just a 5-star match. Like, because I'd be lying. And it just makes everybody look bad. Like, they're putting these women in a bad spot where they gotta basically lie. Like, you know, Moolah's just a trailblazer of yada, yada, yada. And then you Google and you realize what Moolah was doing. And I heard people say, like, you know, people getting on her, where is this whole thing about the Ultimate Warrior? I'm like, there's plenty of people saying stuff about the Ultimate Warrior. That's trash too. And the only reason they kind of got a pass is, one, like, he just died. And then two, like, people, it's amazing. Like, WWE wants all this mainstream attention. They should be happy they don't get as much as they really want. Because if somebody really paid attention to some of this stuff, they'd be like, you guys are a bunch of dirtbags. And they could have used another woman. Like, okay, you don't want to use... Because they hadn't even mentioned Moolah for the longest. It was just the whole Mae Young thing. Name after Sensational Sherry. Or if you don't want to do that, because I know they don't want to do T'Chyna because, you know, she had a sketchy past, even though they were in bed with Playboy for like a decade and nobody complained about that. But that's neither here nor there. And if you don't want to use Sherry because she died of unnatural causes, name after Medusa. Like, it's plenty of women you can pick that you have in the Hall of Fame. The Beth Phoenix Hall of Fame. Like, the Beth Phoenix Better World. Beth Phoenix was strong. You just put her in the Hall of Fame.
And they've really talked up Trish Stratus over the last few years, and deservedly so. You know, use her name. Why not?
Yeah, they had plenty of names to use, Todd Moolah, but that happened. And then it's Women's Month, and they're a Gandhi. I'm like, are we going to give, or is Betsy DeVos about to come out and give a speech? Like, you're just picking the worst damn women. And I was talking to Jerry Mali, he's like, oh, like, I didn't know too much about her. I'm like, yeah, ask somebody from Pakistan about her. Like, you know, she was responsible for a whole bunch of bloodshed, the reason why Bangladesh became a country in not so peaceful means. And I always say, anyone that's assassinated by their own bodyguards, they normally had it coming.
I guess I always... Yeah, it's strange who they pick to show off a lot of times. And this is one that, again, like, I guess I just was not all that familiar with what she had done either, and I did not go on a Google search because I suppose I don't need to know these things.
Yeah. I'm sure most people didn't, but the funny thing would be people that's curious, what the first thing you'll do is go to Wikipedia, and as soon as you, that's my thing, it's kind of like the fans who know about her, just like in the know she's a dirtball. Young fans, it's like, oh, who's Moolah? And they start doing some searching, they're going to find out some stuff they don't want to see. And it's the same thing. Somebody that people know, but don't really, like, pick Oprah. Everybody knows Oprah. No one's going to search out Oprah. It's like, okay, it's Oprah. Whatever. I like Oprah. Pick somebody safe. Why are you going to pick some... Why are you going to pick a damn tyrant? Like, bro, what are you doing? Like, that's my whole thing. It's kind of like, it's just... They're so arrogant when they don't have to be. And the Moolah one bothers me more because, like, it's not like they've been pushing Moolah all these years. Like, they had basically stopped talking about Moolah. It was all Mae Young this and Mae Young that and the Mae Young Classic and then the Mae Young the Trailblazer because her and Steph were friends. It was like they had stopped talking about Moolah and then all of a sudden to bring her out and name a battle royal after. So like every year we got to deal with this crap and the women have to deal with this crap.
Oh, well, who knows if it's going to be every year because the WWE is on track to keep all the men tied up so that there isn't an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Yeah, but they got enough women where they rather have the women in a battle royal than have, like, six women matches.
Well, yeah, because that's... It's great for the women's division to have that depth, but it does make it near impossible to get all of them onto the card because one way or the other, the WWE tends to do the right thing and get most people on the card.
Yeah.
Unless your name's the Usos.
Yeah, I was about to bring them up. I didn't even realize they had been on the main card since they've been in WWE. And it's like, wow, they've been there long. Like, they're probably the best tag team. It's the best tag team of their generation, the best one since probably the 80s. And this is a talking point that they can't get in the main card of WrestleMania. But no, like, Raw and SmackDown was just weird. It's kind of like, you know, they were getting to where they needed to get to. They just didn't, and just the weirdest, most ridiculous ways. Like, SmackDown. Shane McMahon is saying, like...
Oh.
Honestly, I'm watching the end of that show. And I see them leading him to where the ladder is on, like, the thing, whatever it was. And I'm like, okay, that ladder looks real. I know Shane likes to do stuff for the fan and like that, but, like, that ladder has no give whatsoever. They're not going to powerbomb him on that thing. And sure enough, they powerbomb him. He sounds like he's trying to push out a kidney stone. And I'm like, you're rich. What are you doing? He's going to really hurt himself.
Hey, yeah, that was a bump that I'm like, oh my god. Like, I saw some pretty bad bumps at Fastlane there when the Bludgeon Brothers took out the Usos and New Day. That one and the Xavier Woods one just, they seem so unnecessary.
I get the Bludgeon Brothers stuff, even though it was kind of cringy, because, like, you want to put them over as being these big, bad, badasses. Well, why does Shane keep doing that? Like, he's Shane McMahon. He's rich. He can retire tomorrow and never have to worry about money. He's not a full-time wrestler. Why is he putting himself through this for us? Like, it's not worth it. And I know people like to say, oh, Shane, he gets to have the best of both worlds. He's like a part-time stuntman, and he gets to do all the spots and not go on the road. It's like, I don't see any other knuckleheads taking those bumps. Like, you don't see Sami Zayn falling off a damn cell. You don't see people getting powerbombed on ladders like that. Like, you think Luke Harper's doing that? You think, like, Kevin Owens is doing, like, AJ Styles and doing that stupid shit because they don't need to. So I don't get why. I get why Shane's doing it. It just seems so unnecessary. And then it's like, where's this leading to? Like, they're gonna have a three-way, and it's gonna be the two of them jumping him. Like, how's Daniel Bryan involved? Because they've been doing this whole, he's at home with the family. He's got personal leave, but he'll be back. And something has to happen with Daniel Bryan. But it's kind of like,
oh,
what? Because, like, are they going to have Mr. Ref? Are they going to have him be Shane's tag partner? Like, what's... They can't tease that and then not deliver. It's like, it's just too much... It's too much mess going around with that match.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of, I guess talking myself into another Sammy versus Kevin match. Just because they really wrestle well and they are great opponents for each other. But, yeah, I saw that at Fastlane. I'm like, oh, they're going to add Shane to this thing? And there's no way he can't be involved in some form or another after that beatdown. And I would think they'd be in the match.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, the weird thing about it is, like, Shane had it coming. He threw both of them out the title, and it's kind of like, that's the weird thing about this whole storyline is that all three of them are heels. Because like, Kevin Owens kind of start, like, Kevin Owens got mad at AJ Styles back when Kevin Owens was, no, he got mad at Shane to the whole stuff with AJ Styles. My shoulder was up. They got the three count. My foot was on the rope. We got the three count. Like, he kept getting screwed, even though it was kind of like an accident. So he's messing with Shane. They have their match. Sami Zayn gets involved because it's like Shane's going too far being a bully. So they do their thing. Then Shane actually acts like a bully while Daniel Bryan's telling him to stop acting like a bully. So it's like all three of them are acting like jerks. So who am I supposed to root for?
Somehow, and this is, that's always the crazy thing about some or a lot of the audiences, Shane still getting cheered. It's just like, that guy has just been a complete schmuck the whole time. And I mean, he's even admitted to being a schmuck on top of it. And it has not really changed the crowd reaction.
Yeah, they like Shane. It's funny, even when Shane was a heel back in the old days, Shane was always likable. And I think part of it's because he's not Stephanie and he's not Vince. Like, Vince, even as an old man, is kind of hard to cheer for him. You remember all the stuff he did. And Steph's always been insufferable. So it's kind of like, it's easy to cheer for Shane because he's not them. And Shane's always been up front and kind of like, you know, I got the cool sneakers, I ain't goofy, I'm the suburban dad trying to be cool. But I know I'm the suburban dad trying to be cool. So it works.
He just does, like you said, he comes off way different than the other two McMahons. And, yeah, it's a good thing. Because I kind of get tired of those other two anyway.
Yeah, it's just that whole... WrestleMania is weird because they've been building to these matches, but all the matches, the build-ups for the matches just seem so damn off the wall. Like, I want to see the matches, but not because of the build-ups. Like, none of them. Like, Braun's going to wrestle for the tag team titles by himself? Like, that was just, like, they can't just have him beat the Bar by himself. I mean, they could, but it's just like, the Bar beat everybody else, and that's the tag team. But the problem is, Braun Superman. He flipped over. He flipped over trucks. He pulled down walls like he's Bonnie Commando. So him beating two people by himself isn't even that big a deal, even though the two people are tag team champions. But it's like, he's gonna walk around with both belts, and who's gonna beat him?
Well, and then because I think it was Cesaro or Sheamus put out a poll about whether Braun should wrestle them by himself or with a tag team partner. It's just like, he doesn't need a tag team partner. It would be really weird if he had a tag team partner. I mean, he could name James Ellsworth his tag team. Well, actually, maybe James Ellsworth would be the only way that the Bar could win. But because he'd like... be an idiot and tag himself in at some point and take the L.
You know, it'd be funny. He ended up naming Samoa Joe. Like Braun needs to help. Because Samoa Joe doesn't have any... Because that would just be hilarious. Like, okay, y'all going to give me a partner. I know somebody else would like to give out hands. And then they play Samoa Joe's music. It's like, okay, they never lose the tag team titles if they win. Like, because you almost forget about Joe. Like, he's been out since he's been injured. And Elias, and it's just funny where, like, you know, Elias took his spot the feud with Cena, but now Cena's feud with The Undertaker. So it's like, you look at the card, like, certain people don't have matches yet. You just wonder, like, what are they going to do or who are they going to wrestle?
Yeah, all the big matches are pretty much set up now. And, I know that there are a couple others that we can get to, but, I mean, I guess you could, trying to think outside of Elias, who's kind of a bigger name that doesn't have a match right now. That they've been using a lot.
Rusev.
Oh.
That's the big name. Like, Rusev is probably the second most over person on SmackDown, and he's keep having great matches and not winning, but what can you do with him? Like, unless, if you're not going to have the Andre Battle Royal, who does Rusev wrestle? Like, he's not going to be in the U.S. title match, because that's going to be a three-way. You already got the tag title. Unless they put him in a tag match and they make it like a four-way or five-way. They put him in English and have him go for the title. Like, other than that, it's like, he doesn't have anything. Baron Corbin doesn't have anything. Dolph Ziggler doesn't have anything. You know, yeah, like, you look at, I'm not even talking about like Ty Dillinger or whatever, but it's kind of
right.
Like, They got a lot of names on SmackDown that don't have anything going on. Like,
well, maybe they do have enough people still for the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, yeah, then.
Because you got that Mojo Rawley complaining about, I don't care if you don't think I know how to wrestle, I know how to fight, and that's good enough. I mean, good for him, because, like, as long as you fight and win, who cares about a chin lock? But it's as funny as that, that's his new skill. No shtick. I don't. You can complain about my wrestling ability all you want. All that matters that I win matches.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately for him, he did not even win the pre-show match at Fastlane. So he kind of has a problem with his own storyline.
Yeah, he can join the club. He can be with Dolph Ziggler, Mister. I half-ass it half the time and nobody noticed. It's like, yeah, we notice. we just don't care because you're Dolph Ziggler. So, I mean, it's people on both Raw and SmackDown that don't have storylines right now. Just wondering, like, what are they going to do? And then the people who do have storylines, you just wonder what part of the card are they going to be on?
Yeah, Lord only knows. Since we've got to get there at like 2 in the afternoon to watch the whole card.
Don't get me started. I was waiting for them to announce, oh, it's going to be a 3-hour pre-show and a 5-hour match. Like, I don't want to be at a parade. Like, I don't like wrestling that much. And I remember Dallas was the last one I went to live, and that felt like it was just went on forever. Like, it had a 2-hour pre-show. It had, what was it, 4 hours? And then it was an hour, and then it had like an hour overrun.
It was almost a full, it was like 45-minute overrun.
Yeah, because I remember the Triple H Roman Reigns match. I'm like, wait a second. The show's supposed to go off in 10 minutes. Like, is Roman going to win in 6? And like, no, they kept wrestling and wrestling and wrestling. And they got to the point where it's like, in the damn match so I can go home. Like, I didn't even care about booing Roman Reigns. I just wanted to be over. Like, enough. I've been here all damn day. Like, no.
But the XFL is going to have short games, Shahid. It'll make it all better.
That's not going to help me now. I mean, I'm worried about it in 3 weeks. Like, I may not even go to the pre-show. Like, I can't be sitting there in those 7-8 hours. And I know my wife not trying to do that either. I show up during the national anthem and try to skip and go to the bathroom when they have Kid Rock come out. Why is he in the Hall of Fame?
Because he has been the musical act that has performed more at WWE events than any other musical act, evidently.
They couldn't get, I'd rather see Machine Gun Kelly or Flo Rida in the Hall of Fame. And I don't even like Machine Gun Kelly. It's like, Kid Rock has, Undertaker hasn't come out his music, 14 years? Like,
it's been a while. And I will admit to being, I've seen Kid Rock a couple of times in concert. But as soon as he went into that country nonsense, I was so gone.
And a lot of people, when he turned into, right-wing Machine Gun Kid Rock.
And yeah.
I'm going to put a boot in the ass for America, the one that Toby Keith didn't do. It's like, no, I like Kid Rock. His first album, that bow diddy bow the bang diddy, like that song is catchy. Like, I like that song, and that cowboy song I liked it because Jeff Jarrett uses his WCW music, and I like Jeff Jarrett back then. But beyond that, I had to about Kid Rock in a positive way in the longest. So when they announced he's in the Hall of Fame, I'm like, you look at that Hall of Fame class, and that's one of the weirdest classes, because they don't really. Besides Ivory, they don't have anybody that has, strong WWE ties. Like, Goldberg's Mr. WCW. The Dudleys are Mr. ECW. Jarrett is, WCW TNA.
It's kind of funny that, honestly, the Dudleys are probably the second strongest WWE ties. But, yeah, I mean, their origin being in ECW... it is certainly more of their legacy than the. I mean, they did quality work for a while in the WWE.
Yeah, it's not like they weren't like a WWE team. It's just kind of like they're known. They started off and being in ECW and them being the first ECW original to be in the Hall of Fame, kind of noteworthy. And even Ivory, it's a lot of people remember her from GLOW more than. Her doing WWE stuff. It's just,
yeah, that one's kind of funny. I know that I watched GLOW growing up, but I other than is it Mount Fuji
and Big Bad Mama?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd be able to tell you the difference those are the only two people I'd really be able to point out. I wouldn't have told you that Ivory was there. I still love Ivory because of her harassment of Michael Cole for, was it WrestleMania 20, I believe? They had a giant pre-show on for some ridiculous amount of time that I thoroughly enjoyed. That got me on board for Ivory.
Yeah, I'm wondering who else is going to be in the class. Because it's kind of a weird class, weird. Like, this WrestleMania is just weird.
We went to one of those Hall of Fames, and I'm just... Yeah, I went completely sour on that experience.
I've been to two, and that's enough. I went to the one... I'm trying to remember which ones I went to. One in New York... And cause I remember, one, that's because Booker T was getting in, Bruno was in, and, Schwarzenegger was there.
Oh.
My friends were making fun of me because I was, popping for Schwarzenegger. I'm like, that's Arnold fucking Schwarzenegger.
Why not?
You know how many damn movies he's made that we grew up watching? Stop trying to be too cool for school.
Yeah, I will watch Predator every time that it's on AMC.
Exactly. And I think it was the one with... Mascaris, and because he went on and on about his family and how he was a big soap opera star.
Oh,
and yeah, because I remember that one too because it was just boring, and I remember how obnoxious the Blackjacks were. That's the other one because I remember they were just assholes. I think it was either Mulligan or Alonzo. One of them was just a straight dickhead. But no, ever since then, I haven't gone to any of them live. It's kind of I'll watch. Some of them been good. Some of them haven't been good. I remember last year, it was funny. People made fun of, didn't think it was good. A couple of times, the Rock and Roll Express one almost made me try at the end. and speech about, you know, I've been on a, like, that I think Ricky Morton was saying, like, you know, I've been on the road almost 40 years. I had ups and downs, losses, stuff like that. Me and Bobby, we've been through hell and back, but that's always been my brother, and he always will be. And I couldn't wish for a better partner than that. I was like, wow. And I wasn't expecting that because they were just so, it was so corny before that, up until the end. And then the end was just like, yeah, that was just, I remember that speech. The fact that I can remember that line, and I never liked the Rock and Roll Express. Tell you that that speech had an impact. Like, I'll watch it, but it's kind of like, it depends on who's doing it.
Yeah, I haven't watched it since, because we went in Atlanta, whichever set 28. And there was a pretty decent class, but I don't think I've even watched on the network since then. Like, that's how bad I got turned off by the whole thing. I'm like, okay, whatever. And plus, you know, like you said, like, there's a varying quality of class. And, man, that thing just takes a long-ass time.
Yeah, like, the people who want to talk for a long time, or you want them to talk, they don't talk. The ones you don't just drone on and on and on. And it's just like, some of them are just gas bags. Like, you get some good ones. Like,
yeah, because I want to say we got Hacksaw, and his was pretty good. I mean, it's Hacksaw, Jim Duggan. Come on.
Yeah, like, it's some, I mean, like, Booker T was good. I remember Ron Simmons was good when he did his. His was funny. Trish was funny when she put out that long list. And then, like, I'm going to name all the names. I like, and that thing was like 50 feet long. Bruno's was real good because his was just touching, like, you know, my mom saved me when I had pneumonia against the damn Nazis. It's like, how you gonna do that? Like, Bruno was so down to earth. Like, I did it all for the fans. My mom thought I was gonna die because I had pneumonia up until I was 3 years old. She used to climb up the mountains every day and hide against the Nazis during World War II. To raise the family.
Wouldn't he be hiding from the fascists?
It was just...
In Italy?
Yeah. I don't know if it was like... He said the Nazis or the fascists, whatever. He might have said both. But it's basically like, you know, we fought hard all our life, but I kept it humble because I wanted to do it for all you fans who paid to see me and wanted to give him a show. And he was just so gracious and humble and stuff. And it's like... Yeah, you can't beat... Like, you... Bruno's is a class act. And it's kind of like, you just can't... that. So I don't want to hear Bubba Ray Dudley just blather on about how great he is and how he's a shooter. You know, so like, no offense, it's like, and I just still laugh that Jeff Jarrett finagled his way into the damn Hall of Fame. Like, I can't wait till Dixie Carter inducts him just so I can laugh.
I have had an unnatural hatred for Jeff Jarrett for a long time. So, you know, I am definitely not a fan of this class. And I became even less of a fan. I'm just like, of course you guys would. The guys at AIW are bringing in Jeff Jarrett for one of their shows.
I was just like, one, why? Because Jeff Jarrett was always that name. I thought he was going to never get in. It's like, they used to make fun of him. They never mentioned TNA and all that stuff. And now you're going to have him in the Hall of Fame. Like, imagine you, Kurt Angle, in the crowd watching that. Jeff Jarrett all smiling there with your ex-wife and all. Well, congratulations, pal. You made it. Like, yeah, I would go up to him with a headbutt the shit out of him. Like, that's... And I know he won't, because Kurt Angle is a professional and he wouldn't do that. But that's... That's just got to feel a certain way. It's like, why is this dirt ball up here? The year after I got inducted, like, this is y'all following up with this piece of garbage that nobody likes. So, still caring. I still haven't met a person that said they ever watched a Global Force wrestling match. So,
I have no idea if anyone's actually watched that that garbage or not. That was still, I mean, I can't believe what he's been able to pull off, honestly.
World class skin. Like I say, he's the Sam Bradford of pro wrestling. Just making a whole bunch of money way out of his talent range. Like, I just want that agent. Like, I saw how much, like, people calculate, like, if by the time Sam Bradford finished his contract, he'd have made like $130 million. It's like he's never had a winning season. He's never sniffed the Pro Bowl. The most wins he's had is like 7. Never thrown for 4,000 yards. He's made $130 million in pro football, a sport where it's like, you know, it takes a lot of talent to make that much money. And I'm feeling the same way about Jeff Jarrett. Like, he just outlasts cockroaches. Like, he's just around and just right place at right time, and he just finagles his way in WWE. And now they're talking about, you know, he may help run NXT because Triple H will be busy with running Raw and SmackDown. It's like,
oh, no. Oh, yeah, no, like, no, no, no.
Because yeah. It's like, it's nobody else he trusts. Like, because Dusty Rhodes is gone. Triple H tend to like the old school people, but like most of the old school guys are already on the main roster. So it's like, I hope not, but I would say this. I would seriously doubt he would let Jeff Jarrett run amok. And as soon as NXT kind of slips off the rail, Triple H should be down in full cell. Like, you better cut this ass out. We're going to be back on rehab for the wrong reasons. But it's just weird.
It's going to be a different type of rehab that you're going to be in if this keeps up.
Yeah, but it's just funny. Like, he just won't die. He just lasts and lasts. And part of me just want to give kudos to him for this surviving. But then another part is like, this is a reason why. Sometimes hard. I talked to Jeremy about it. It's like, sometimes it's hard being a pro wrestling fan because it's kind of like, I'm almost 40 years old. I spent about 5 figures on professional wrestling in my life between buying tapes, pay-per-views, going to shows, hotel, flights and stuff. And it's like, okay, I'll play along. Like, I still don't understand why a drop kick hurt the person if you hit them, but hurt you if it doesn't. But whatever. Like, I'll play along with that. Don't make me feel stupid about being a pro wrestler fan. And too many times they do that. Like, and I think it's just part of the fact that it's an entertainment based off the fact that their goal is to lie to us.
Oh,
and they've never grown out of that. Even when people know what the, you know, they know
the know what the deal like, is.
Yeah, like, I still got a lie. Like, I miss the good old days when I thought they were really real. Like, no, I don't miss those days. I don't look like a dead. You remember those days when everybody said, you know, it's fake, right? You were an idiot for watching. Like, no, I don't want to go back to those days where people look at me as a moron because I'm watching professional wrestling. Like, and the promoters and people running it don't do any favors. Like, they, part is like, you know, they keep acting like this the 40s again. Like, no, don't do that. We'll play along. Just give us a good show. We'll play along. When I go to the circus, I don't honestly think somebody's getting sawed in half. Like, no one there thinks that. We just play along with it because we want to see the show. So don't have Roman Reigns out there pretending like, I'm a shoot, and I'm a go back. Yo, they not cut my mic off, so it must, you know it. Because first, Roman Reigns is out there pretending he's shooting, and then go back there and like, hey, Vince, what you going to do about it? Is that your boy? Yada, yada, yada. And then Vince basically tells the truth and sends him home. Like, if that was real life, Vince would have fired him. Vince would have picked this man alive. And then you have John Cena out there like, oh, you know, if I was shooting, they'd cut my mic off. But they didn't cut my mic off, so I guess I'm saying the right thing. Like, shut up. Don't do that. I don't want to – don't have me think about that stuff because – you get to do that, and no one else gets to do that. It's just dumb. It's like playing with a cheat code. And I hate when, that's why I hate those type of promos. Because at least when ECW did it, it was consistent. And even when SmackDown does it, it's consistent. They do it in a way where everybody can kind of do that more or less. It's not like one person gets to do it and the rest of people don't. But on Raw, it's like Roman Reigns and John Cena get to be special, and every now and then they let the Miz go off script and be special. But everybody's got to cut their quote-unquote WWE promos, and it's like, stop making me feel dumb for watching your damn show.
Yeah. to go completely off topic, because I know this is something that we haven't really gotten to. Something that I was very excited about that happened at Fastlane, Asuka, Charlotte, getting back to kind of the main card, I guess, and kind of move a little bit to SmackDown since we haven't covered it too much aside from Shane McMahon. I'm pretty excited about that match, and it's another one that I'm not sure, as much as I want to see the match, I'm not sure how much they can do to build it up more than they honestly did this past week.
Yeah, like, it's I know the word's misused, it's a dream match, because Charlotte is like their shining jewel as far as women wrestlers. Like, as far as, like, from NXT homegrown to where she's at now, like, she's the daughter of Ric Flair. They booked her better than they booked almost any other woman they've had that's come from NXT. And they always make a big deal about how she's, even when they talk about the Four Horsewoman, like, she's special. They made a big deal saying that. And, like, she's athletic as hell. She carries herself like a champion. And then you got Asuka, who hasn't lost since she's been there. Everybody knows she's a badass. And it's like, you have these two, like, you got basically the best woman against the best woman, more or less.
Yeah.
And they've never had a match before. So it's kind of like, you get to see it. And you've seen that WrestleMania. And they're going to hype the hell out of it, because they've been hyping Asuka like she's Goldberg. And they hype Charlotte like she's Ric Flair Jr. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that match. I would think, at least in this case, they won't try to overdo it, because I remember before when they had the three-way, they wanted to make it like a special match, so they try to fit everything in, and it's kind of sloppy. This one's like, you know, we just go out here and do our thing. If they get enough time, it's going to be an awesome match.
Well, since we'll be there for 12 hours, I would expect that they should get enough time for their match.
You never know. you would think so, because it's kind of like, you look at the matches, like how long the show's going to be, because You figure Shane McMahon and his stuff's gonna get time.
Yeah.
The chicken scene is gonna get as much time they need. Roman and Brock stuff, they're gonna have time. You know, Ronda Rousey, that tag match is gonna have time. And you got AJ Styles, Nakamura. Like, that's Nakamura's intro. he probably had like 100 people playing a damn violin. So his intro alone might take 10 minutes. So it's gonna be a long show, but you're gonna have at least five matches that's gonna have a lot of time given to them.
Yeah, upside for New Orleans, they don't have a super long entrance ramp.
Yeah.
So entrances might be marginally shorter than they were last year.
Yeah, it's something about Texas, because Dallas had a long ramp. We went to Rumble of San Antonio, they had a long-ass ramp. That's why they had to use like the little segways or the little...
Oh, yeah, the carts.
That was so hilarious. Like, I wish you had seen that live, because we went live and seeing that. And it took like the third time it happened for us to figure out what's going on. Because, like, wait a second. Did the Big Show teleport? Like, it's like, because you see him, and he's at the top of the ramp. And then all of a sudden, he's just zoomed. Like, you don't see the buggy, because, like, the way the angle was, it's at the, we see the body, but you see the buggy. So it's like, okay, he stood on something, and then he just flew. Like, is this Dragon Ball? Like, what the hell is going on? And then somebody else did it. Like, Mark, I think he was like, and then Big E started dancing and did it. I'm like, okay, it's some shenanigans. Okay, then we saw, like, okay, it's a buggy that's going on. Because people in the crowd like, what the hell are they doing? Like, is this a slingshot? Like, we couldn't figure out how they were getting down there. Because it was different. Like, when I saw it on TV...
Yeah.
It looked a lot different than, like, you see a lot, it's just hilarious, because you just see them walking, stop, and then just fly down the ramp, and they get there in, like, 6 seconds. Oh, man, that was hilarious. And I'm like, imagine if The Undertaker was on one of those things.
Oh.
That would just be...
Well, at least like, his entrance might be bearably long at that point.
I'm just trying to think about the entrances they have, because I remember, because there's one that's going to be like, you know, Shinsuke at Mania, and he's in a title match, and it's like, just the entrance alone, I'm just imagining how that's going to be, because it's like, he has, it's funny where NXT have had the awesome entrances, but the main roster doesn't really have them except for WrestleMania. But now it's going to be WrestleMania. You get to see them. So, like, hey. I remember Charlotte's last year when she came out, they had the fireworks around the whole damn stadium, and she pulled the robe out. And I'm like, that's one thing WWE is unmatched when it comes to presentation. Even though they cut back on pyro and stuff, when they want to pull the works out, they go all out, and they are unmatched.
I kind of forgot about that I'm not sure if I mentioned it in the solo show about Fastlane. We sat so close to that entrance, I was so glad they did not have fireworks.
You'll go deaf.
That was one of those things that, like, I'm not sure that I've sat that, when I've gotten nicer seats, I'm not sure that I've sat that close to the stage, and yeah, I'm pretty sure my wife and I would have been deaf if they had used fireworks that night.
Yeah, I remember going to a Raw show. Like, the first time I went to Raw, and I thought I was going to go deaf. I'm like, the firework, the crowd is so damn loud. And then two, when Kane and Booker T use those flames, that shit is hot. Like, I'm surprised they don't bust out sweating when they went through that, because you could sit like 20 rows back. If you like would have been in the vicinity, you're gonna feel that damn heat. When Kane does his thing and when Booker T used to do his, I'm like, ooh, that's, and like when Undertaker does his, I'm like, yeah, that's some damn heat. That seems like that's uncomfortable walking through that. So that part I don't miss. I do miss like the promo, like the pyro though, because it was fun. Even it's like Neville had his and Kofi Kingston and like Brock doing the jump, like it's just different. He does the jump and no pyro comes out.
Oh, yeah. There are certain people that it hurts more than others, for sure.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny where it's gone. You don't even think about it, but I miss it because I remember seeing it all the time. It's just how much money. It's funny they make all this money. They cheapskates. Like, how much money did pyro actually cost?
It's a good question that I do not have an answer to.
Yeah, like I know they said you know, cutting it saved money and it didn't make too much of a difference in the match quality. It's like people get used to missing it. People get used to it. It's like, that's true, but it's like nickeling and diamond like that. It's not like you got to pay people's health plans.
They've got to make sure the stockholders make more money. And one way to do that is to cut some costs.
We got to sign Ronda Rousey, so those pancakes gonna be fake from now on. you're gonna start cutting promos on your cell phone so we can save some camera time. WWE is just weird, where they're successful and it just seems like they're just being cheapskates for certain things. Like they're being successful in spite of themselves. If they're gonna keep putting words on the screen, then have Nakamura and Asuka cut promos in Japanese and put the English translation on the screen.
Who do they put the words on the screen for outside? I know that they did it for Braun Strowman.
It was obnoxious for Braun Strowman.
Oh yeah,
like this week was obnoxious. That's why I said hands, piano. I said piano, and then they put it in like bigger font. Be happy you can't play music with an anvil. And I'm sitting there like, Ron is great because he can cut these dumbass promos and not get booed. Like, because his promos are stupid. Like, it's straight out like the 50s. But Ron is just so, he just embraces it so much, and he's just like he's such a cartoon character. It just works. Like, yeah. If Roman Reigns was cutting those promos, you know exactly how you get treated, because remember when Roman Reigns was talking about Roman and the magic beanstalk? and suffering suck. They actually have to say suffering succotash. I still will not forget that.
Yeah, that's that was not a good idea.
They wonder why he gets booed. They had a grown ass hero say suffering succotash in a non-ironic way. They wonder why it didn't work in the 21st century.
Well, they're the Carnies from the time of Looney Tunes, so it still makes sense.
Oh, God, yeah. I just shake my head sometimes. Like, why am I? I'm sitting here like, why am I watching these words on the screen? Like, I'll be 40 next year. What am I doing with my life watching this? I just ask myself that sometimes when I watch pro wrestling. Like, why? It's fun, but it's like, stop making me feel like a dumbass.
Trust me, there are times where I wonder, I'm like, why am I running this site? why do I continue to watch even more professional wrestling?
Look, it's a promo about Roman Reigns complains about respect. I haven't heard that before. Look, a match with Apollo Crews. Well, they can't call him Crews anymore because one, Terry Crews sued him, but they want to blame him on the shooter with the last name Crews. Oh, here we go. Commercial, drink break. Yeah, it's like, and you just say, like, I'm a grown man doing this nonsense. And I feel the same way. Like, I'm watching. But you know why? Because sometimes they do stuff that just makes me laugh. Like, that Rusev, I don't know if you caught it or not. You can tell Rusev is a Bloodsport fan. Because that promo he cut on Fastlane was straight from Bloodsport. That whole, you broke my something, so I'm going to break you like you broke my friend. Like, that's Chong Lee's line straight from Bloodsport. Oh. And that's the promo he cut to Nakamura because Nakamura, you know, hurt Aiden English. And I'm sitting there hearing that, and I was laughing my ass off because, like, only, like, six people will get this. And I know Rusev did it on purpose because he was the one make, like, you know, it's the 20th anniversary of Bloodsport. And he made sure everybody knows that. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I did not realize that was from Bloodsport. I have seen that movie more than once, for sure.
Yeah, it took me a second to catch on to it when he did. He was cutting a normal promo, and then his cadence started changing. And as soon as like he got to like a second line, I started laughing. I'm like, he really took a Chong Lee Bloodsport quote and used it in a promo, and nobody's going to know what he's talking about besides a Bloodsport fan. And that's why I watch like people having fun and like the mixed match challenge stuff. Those videos with Carmella and the New Day, I don't know who put them together or who's like, this will be a good team. I was laughing my ass off because they're doing this whole thing like, you know, second chance voting for the teams who lost. And they did this long ass 11-minute skit like making fun of Kofi because he doesn't have pecs. Like Big E and Xavier Woods, and somehow it segues into like a Biggie Smalls One More Chance video with Carmella playing Biggie Smalls, and they're doing the whole video. She's dressed up like Puff Daddy. They're doing the background dance and everything like that. And I'm like, who thought of this? And like, I'm watching this like, kick those writers out the curb. Let the wrestlers come up with their own stuff. Like, I watched enough mixed match challenge stuff to realize, let them just do their own thing. Like, it may be rough sometimes, but it's way more entertaining than some of that crap they have them doing on the main show.
Oh, yeah, it would be nice. I've got to admit, I'm way behind on that because I've been trying to keep abreast with... I mean, something that, is definitely going to be a throwaway on the WrestleMania card, the 205 Live Championship again.
Which is a shame because they've been 205 Live has been great since the Waste took over. They just have great matches. Even though I'm waiting for somebody to die. Like I saw how like that Cedric Alexander Roderick Strong match and it's like, you don't gotta do that much to entertain us. Like I'm seeing some of those bumps Cedric Alexander's taking. I'm like, he's insane.
Oh,
But they're making the whole thing like, you know, I'm going to do all this because I'm one more match from the biggest match of my life, fighting for the title of WrestleMania. And then Mustafa Ali, they make him like Rocky, like I'm doing this for my daughter and for the people who believe in me and all this and everything. And it's like they're doing what they should have did in the first place. And it's going to be a shame if they're on the pre-show and like 60 people watching it.
It is. I've liked Cedric Alexander for a long time, so it's kind of a bummer that Yeah, he, even his rise to glory probably isn't getting as many eyeballs as the Cruiserweight Classic did to start with.
Yeah. Well, they have said the 205 lot, like the views have gone up since Triple H taken over. They haven't said by how much, but they say more people are watching. I guess it's kind of like the word's been coming out because, like, you just hear the scene, like, oh, you hear such and such had a great match. Like, they just basically just have great matches.
Oh, right.
And they're not doing this whole, like, try to make it around Enzo or storyline nonsense. Who's going to be Alicia Fox's boyfriend? All that crap they used to do. So it's kind of like just, I would like if they interacted more with, and even the women too. It's one thing I noticed with both of them, especially more with the women. They don't interact with anybody but themselves.
Oh.
Besides the mixed match challenge, it's like, was it segregated? Like, the women only can be with the women, the men can only be the men. Because even back in the day, you had, like, mixed tag matches. Like, Trish Stratus would team with The Rock every now and then. Like, you know, when women would interact with men when they had stuff going on. But now it's like, you know, you would think if Sasha Banks, it's funny, like, it is even more weird when you see them in Mixed Match Challenge, how they interact, and it's so natural. Like, you see Mandy Rose getting along with Damn Goldust. But you watch Raw and SmackDown, and you play like, Natalya probably, she would act like she'd never seen any of the Usos before in her life. Because they've probably never been on the screen together. It's like, they don't, it's like they live in their own universe.
Yeah, that was one thing with the Mixed Match Challenge. When it first came up, I'm like, oh, yeah, we haven't really had mixed tag team matches in a while. Like, I'm like, when did that stop happening?
I can't remember. Like, the last one we had, the high-profile one, was Nikki and John Cena versus Maurice and The Miz. But beyond that, we haven't really had it. I'm trying to think when they kind of stopped doing it.
Yeah, because
I want to say right before the NXT, I want to say, is it before the NXT women came or even earlier than that? It just seemed like they used to have it all the time, and then it just stopped. You didn't even realize it stopped, so it was like it just stopped. And then I was like, wow, women and men don't interact anymore.
Yeah, well, it is always funny that just in any backstage segment, no one of consequence is ever around in any of the areas unless it's necessary for the storyline, or if you're Mike Bennett, who happens to be sticking around for Lord only knows what reason in a segment.
Yeah, I'll make sure I put enough hours in so my rehab counts. It's like, I'm glad it's funny, like that whole thing was just, I'm glad he got his help and he's doing better. And that whole thing just seemed like a scam. Like, they get the WWE, she gets pregnant, he goes to rehab. And, like, he just got a job to get health insurance. And, like, there's nothing wrong with that. It just seemed funny. Like, that's, like, just the main goal. Because they were on there for, like, a month. And then all of a sudden, it's like, they vanished. Like, oh, Mike Bennett's in rehab taking care of some stuff. Maria's 3 months pregnant. How about that? Now, like, did you put down the application when you applied to WWE? Do you have any preconditions you want to let us know about? Whatever works. Yeah, I mean, I will never make fun of somebody for getting help, and I'm glad Mike Kanellis is.
Oh.
Mike Kanellis. I'm glad Mike Kanellis is doing better for himself. And I'm always good to see that, and hopefully Maria has a healthy child, and that child can one day feud with Matt Hardy's children. I'm looking forward to next week. I don't care.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that is something to the WWE again. The production, there was definitely a charm to the production or lack thereof in TNA for the Broken Universe, but there is something to be said for all the fancy graphics and whatnot that the WWE can provide that TNA did not.
Can you imagine Matt Hardy's insane imagination with WWE's budget? Like, if a dragon came out of a lake with Jeff Hardy riding it, I wouldn't be surprised. So that's what I've been. That's the main thing I was looking forward to, is like Matt Hardy's madness with some money, and the fact that they just embraced that and they go full out. It's like Senor Benjamin is now WWE canon.
Yeah,
like his kids are there. It's like all the stuff he did in TNA, they're just letting him do it. His wife's there and everything, and it's like, this is just amazing. And what's even funnier is when the announcers talk about, because they can't keep a straight face. Like, Corey Graves is there cracking jokes like, Coach, you have no hope because you're an unwoke idiot. Michael Cole is just losing his mind, trying not to laugh his ass off. And Coach is like, because they realize how ridiculous. Because at first it was funny because Corey Graves was just so annoyed. Like, what is this nonsense that we're watching? And now he's the one he just went along with it. He's just making fun of it just to get them to start laughing. Like, they're playing it to be ridiculous and everybody's on the same page. And then Bray Wyatt finally cut a good promo because he's like, oh, you know, that compound, you got a beautiful wife and kids. I hope nothing bad happened to him. Like, oh, he's really embracing Sam Cady from Cape Fear. He's going to kidnap Maxwell. and hold him hostage for WrestleMania. Like, we going, like, I wouldn't be surprised, because Bray Wyatt, all the jokes you can make, like if JoJo shows up on one of her mini ponies and try to get that previous guy, I wouldn't laugh. Somebody made a joke saying Jose Altman's going to hit it's going to hit somebody with a bat. And like, they want to be like, watch Jose Altman up here for us. Like, oh, because his daughter's dating somebody that we can't really talk about right now. Like, I wouldn't be surprised by anything they do. And it's like, I don't know if they're going to keep Jeff Hardy in the segment because he just had a DUI himself. So, but who knows with that. Like, it's a lot of madness going on. I'm actually looking forward to it because I won't lie. I hadn't watched TNA for a long time, so y'all told me about that. And we all watched that Total Deletion together. And I'm just sitting here like, what the hell am I watching? Like, they're shooting fireworks at each other. It's explosions in a pool. They set the water on fire. I saw someone on a motorbike. Jeff Hardy tried to drop kick a drone. Like, what is this? And I was just enthralled by it. And you could tell it worked, because then, like, a month later, WWE tried it with the New Day and the Wyatt family, and that one was like, damn hate. I'm like, why like the Wyatts about to lynch the New Day? I remember watching that, like, this is not fun. This is uncomfortable. Like, out of all these people in sheet masks somewhere in Virginia, they, like, I was waiting for someone to burn a damn cross. Carpenter trying to hit Xavier Woods with an axe. It's like, what? Yeah, like, it's funny. Let Matt Hardy do that. Because when WWE does it, it just turns into, like, you know, a Rob Zombie movie. Like, we saw what happened with the New Day and the Wyatts, and we saw Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt. Randy Orton set his house on fire and does the Randy Orton pose, and he's a little hero. And then we saw Randy Orton ride to a street fight in a limo with no shirt. I will never forget that in my life. Like, he's just sitting there like, you know, I'm about to ride to this fight. I don't know what's going on. He's sitting there casual, like, oh, he's missing my iPad. He's sitting in a limo with no shirt. Like, and you know what the funny thing? It seemed natural.
Anything is natural for Randy Orton.
Yeah. It's funny.
He's such a natural athlete, Shahid. Yes. It all comes naturally.
He'll go to the papers if he has to. I know. It's funny when you talk about this stuff happening. I just realized, like, yeah, I've watched a lot of ridiculous things the past 5 years. And if I try to explain to somebody, like, oh, y'all watched this thing, and they had this segment where the New Day, they wrestled the Wyatts in the woods, and they had people in sheet masks, and they set a truck on fire, and one tried to hit somebody with an axe, and someone chased them out with a rake. I think they tried to tie up somebody. They, like, is wrestling? I'm like, yeah. They fought at night. And they had Bray Wyatt. He can disappear. And he had a match with Randy Orton at WrestleMania. And he made a snake be on the mat. Or cockroaches and all this. It's like, Oh God, I don't even want to reminisce about some of the stuff we've seen because it's like I can't be a grown man trying to explain this to somebody. Like, imagine you were watching WrestleMania and somebody that had like the last time they watched WrestleMania was like the Macho Man versus Hulk Hogan, and they came in and saw that Bray Wyatt Randy Orton match, like, and they like, why are there cockroaches in the ring?
Just trying to explain some of this stuff to my wife half the time when she ducks her head in, it's just like, oh man, where do I start with this thing? Like, you can't just like delve right into what was happening then because it's a waste of time. Like, you've at least got to give some level of background, and then you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, like, he was part of the Wyatt family because if he said he can't beat him, then join him. Then Luke Harper got jealous because he wasn't a true believer. And then it was a scam because he wanted to burn the soul of Sister Abigail. So he set Bray Wyatt's sister's ashes and house on fire. Yeah, he's the hero, and now they're going to have a match for the world title. I'm like, yeah, that. And then they have the match, and I remember the first time you saw a big ass snake on the mat, and people just groaned and started laughing. Oh. I remember seeing that. That's the first Mania in like 6 years I watched from home, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, what the hell is this?
So glad I didn't see this in person.
Yeah, and then they look cockroaches, and I'm just laughing. And people, like, the first time people just groaned, and then like by the third time, you just started laughing. Like, this is just so damn silly. And it's like, it's a match for the world title. And they're doing this silly shit. Like, oh, God. I'm looking forward to Monday. I just want to see what they pull off their imagination. I made a joke. He don't throw him into the damn lake and Husky Harris don't walk out.
Yeah, seriously, if that happens, completely marking out. That, I will die laughing.
Yeah. Knowing our luck, IRS is going to walk out, and then he's going to do it again. And both guys are going to walk out.
That would be pretty funny, too.
I'm just looking forward to see, like, in one, how does this go? Because it's kind of like Matt Hardy with money. I mean, that's something right there. Like, Matt Hardy's a madman, and apparently Vince is a madman too, because he's just let him basically do the same thing with TNA with just better production value.
Yeah, and that was something I'm like, there is not a chance in hell they're letting King Maxwell into this thing. And sure enough, him and is it a brother that he is,
yeah,
that the younger one is? Yeah, I'm just like, no, both of them are there. So I'm like, okay.
Wife there, like Senor Benjamin, and they didn't even give him a WWE name. He's just still Senor Benjamin. They call him like, you know, Jose or something like that, so they can trademark it. Like, they really just let him do that, and it's just, that's the weird thing about WWE, is kind of like they still micromanage some stuff, but other stuff they just, like, you know, the mixed match challenge, like, do what you want, it's for charity. Yeah, you want to do Mandy Rose, you want to do Goldust and play Marlena 2.0, go ahead. Miz, Asuka, y'all want to cut promos in Japanese and pretend y'all, you know, understand each other, even though y'all don't speak the same language, have fun.
Dude, knock yourself out.
And they're doing it. Like, I'm looking forward to that. It's a shame. I thought that match was going to be in the finals, but Asuka and Miz is wrestling Ron and Alexa Bliss to go to the finals.
Oh.
Like, yeah, every time I see Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman, I'm like, yeah, I can see why Murphy wanted to be on 205 Live so he can keep an eye on his fiance. Because it's like, they great actors, they had some nice chemistry together. And it was like, yeah, teen little bit, you gotta nip that in the bud.
Buddy Murphy.
Oh, man. But, yeah, it's funny, for a show we didn't say what we were going to talk about, we sure talked about a lot.
Yeah, I was thinking that we could probably wrap this thing up.
Yes, and I will wrap it up with, it's funny some of the things you see on Twitter, and they were talking about some, like, you know, people need to leave Alexa Bliss alone. Like, you complain about her ring work and it like that. But if you say the only reason she's world champion is because of her butt, you're being a misogynist. And I'm like, are there people who actually said that?
Oh.
I'm like, she has a nice rear end. Like, don't get me wrong, but I didn't think it was such a thing where, like, that's the reason she got the title. Like, it's funny. And then it was like this long-ass Twitter. Like, I try to avoid that, but it's amazing the things that people argue about when it comes to wrestling. They will argue about every single thing, and it's always somebody I play devil's advocate. And it's just like, what am I doing myself? I'm a grown-ass man. I'm reading a tweet about, is Alexa Bliss's butt the reason why she's world champion getting a push? Like, why? And that's something I could never talk to my wife about, because she would just look at me like I'm insane. I'm a healthcare professional that works for the government. People put their life in my hands, and this is how I spend my free time. Yeah.
Yep. Well, I make sure people don't have buildings fall on their heads, so, you know, there are definitely some people taking their life into their hands when they're under my handiwork. And yes, this is also what I do with my spare time. Bell Time beer for tonight, Platform Brewing, Elevated Hop Ramble, last of the six packs, that's finally done. I am kind of interested in hearing feedback from one of the more recent Stunt Granny beers that is being judged tomorrow evening. So, and that's the double team Belgian double, which was kind of more like a triple. But, you know, hey, we'll find out. So I will leave the final word up to Mr. Shahid here, and I'm out of here.
For Kevin DeFringo, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and I'm just